Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina Lee, and I am from the University of Texas School of Public Health, as she said. I'm a postdoctoral research fellow there. And today I'm wanting to present to you guys some qualitative research that we had conducted with the Texas legislature back in 2013 over childhood obesity policies in Texas, which of them are supported and why. But before I get into that, I wanted to take the time to thank my co-authors, Heather Atterbury, who's here in the audience. Thank you for coming. Tiffany Menendez, Dr. Diane Dowdy, and Dr. Deanna Helscher. I have no relationships to disclose. So here, a quick background about Texas. It's currently ranked 10th out of 51 U.S. territories and states for having the highest level of childhood obesity rates among 10 to 17-year-olds. And that rate is currently at 19.1%. So with knowing that Texas's childhood obesity rate is so high, Texas legislators have paid attention. We've been successful in passing at least a quarter of the bills proposed related to childhood obesity from 2006 and 2009. However, since 2011, after the 2010 elections, we've seen a Texas legislator turnover rate of approximately 50%, which left us with questions over what exactly their priorities are regarding child health, regarding childhood obesity prevention. So we wanted to answer those questions. So the first objective of this study was to assess their knowledge, attitudes, health beliefs, and perceptions related to childhood obesity amongst the new 83rd Texas legislature. And from that, we wanted to be able to figure out and present some key recommended strategies, tips, to help guide public health advocates out there to try to garner more legislative support for the policies that they're wanting to pass. The study design that we used was cross-sectional, mixed methods. We collected both quantitative data via a survey, which is presented elsewhere, and qualitative data via in-depth one-on-one interviews. And that's what I'm going to focus on talking about today. The study population for the qualitative interviews were any representatives or senators who chaired specific committees related to childhood obesity legislation, so nutrition, physical activity, education. For example, we targeted senators in education and the Health and Human Services committees. We also asked all members of the Farm-to-Table Caucus in the Texas legislature to participate. And of course, any legislator who is interested in participating was more than welcome to be interviewed by us. So we had a total of 30 legislators that we targeted. So the 2013 Texas Health Perception Survey, the qualitative interview questionnaire, was developed with help from an external steering committee. So we had an advisory committee comprised of public health advocates from local NGOs, the American Heart Association, the Texas Health Institute, Texas Hospital Association, and Texas Medical Association, just to name a few. And these were individuals who were experts in the legislative process, in child health. They also had experience just knowing how to develop a repertoire with Texas legislators. And so they provided great feedback on our interview questionnaire content. They helped us develop the questions. They helped us come up with strategies, how to communicate with them, how to approach their legislative offices to get them to want to participate in our study. And they also helped us interpret our results. The survey, the qualitative interview, was comprised of both closed and open-ended questions with follow-up, just wanting to get their thoughts on childhood obesity, on physical activity and nutrition. We wanted to figure out what exactly gets their support related to obesity, related health issues. And we also wanted to get their views and opinions on potential policies and mandates that we wanted to hopefully present to the Texas legislature. We collected this data from January to August of 2013. And the data collection was facilitated by trained project staff who first contacted them by letter and then by email. And then we followed up by giving them phone calls and actually going to the offices and talking to them in person. We analyzed the data following the Kruger method. All the interviews were recorded, transcribed, and grouped according to thematic elements. Of course, all the protocols and questionnaires were approved by IRB from not only the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston, but also Texas A&M University and College Station. And also the questionnaires were confidential and anonymous. So our results, out of the targeted 30 legislative offices that we approached to participate in our qualitative interview, we had 16 do so. And we had representation from both the House and the Senate and Republican and Democrat parties. So the very first question that we asked the legislators in the interview were whether or not they supported a list of policy recommendations. And I'm not going to go into all of them, but you can see here the top three policy recommendations that they highly supported were ones that focused on improving the health of school children by either increasing physical activity levels or improving their nutrition and diet. And they also particularly wanted to support early childhood programs. There was the least amount of support for creating nutritional guidelines for food in vending machines. Our results showed, as you saw, that the most support were ones that targeted improving those early childhood programs, and also SHACs, school health advisory councils, to overall improve the health of school children. We had one respondent was quoted saying, "We already provide early childhood centers with food. Let's provide them with healthy food. We're not really expanding it. We're just doing it the right way." Another respondent in discussing SHACs said, "We see SHACs as a way to do this with the boots on the ground, who know how to get kids active. We also see this as a way to propel SHACs in the direction of future growth and to put power in the hands of people at the local level." When we asked the respondents why certain policy recommendations weren't supported, they explained that most of their concerns were related to funding, of course. Their concerns were also related to not having enough information. They weren't sure if they wanted to support the policy without getting the full details about the policy recommendation. They also were concerned over the need to balance not only the government's role in obesity prevention, but also personal responsibility. And they also did not like the idea of using restrictions. They'd much rather use incentives in policies. So one respondent was quoted saying, "It's because this session, they experienced several members trying to restrict what individuals on SNAP could buy, and our office doesn't agree. Increasing access is a better option. We need incentives, not restrictions." So bottom line, when we asked the legislators which policies have the greatest chance of being included in legislation, they greatly supported improving those early childhood programs, especially through diet and physical activity, and we wanted to understand why. Why was that? And one of them explained, "Because the government is the controlling state agency. Also, this is a narrow population, pre-K and early ed programs, so it's a small step versus a bigger step." Then we asked them about potential barriers to these particular childhood obesity-related policies. And the barriers that they saw would be long-term funding, of course. They thought that community buy-in would be an issue. And they also did not support at all unfunded educational mandates. And they explained, one respondent was quoted saying, "Education has too many mandates, and they hate anything that appears to be another mandate, and don't want to have to hire more administrators." So in this discussion session, I wanted to just list straightforward key steps to help get Texas legislator support for childhood obesity-related policy recommendations. The first one being, one, focus on incentives rather than restrictions. Two, balance government and personal responsibility in your policy recommendation. And three, provide information on policy funding. Where is the money going to come from? We also saw that legislators were more likely to support policies that are just adjusting funding rather than seeking out completely new funding elsewhere. Just shifting the funding is more likely to get support as well. So I wanted to go over the strengths and limitations of this study. We had a lot of legislator interest, which was a strength. They were involved. They wanted to know the results of the study. They wanted to stay in contact with us and see where it led. Also, realistic strategies were, we ended up getting some realistic strategies that we could actually implement now from the study. Limitations included a dependence on legislative aides. We were approaching them in middle of session. So oftentimes the senator, the representative, they themselves could not give us the time. They were on the floor, for example, and so they couldn't give us the time for a one-on-one in-person interview with us. And so we had their legislative aides who do this often. They actually speak on behalf of their legislator and answer surveys and questions on behalf of their legislator. But that was indeed a limitation as well. And also the short duration of the legislative session. We would have liked to have a lot more time to try to get more of them involved, and so that was a limitation as well. So overall, a conclusion for this particular study was whenever you're presenting childhood obesity-related policies to Texas legislators, be sure to provide examples of successful, low-cost, research-based strategies that focus on incentives rather than restrictions, that focus on balancing both personal and governmental responsibility. And that may be what is more effective in garnering that legislative support, attention, and action. So before I go on to the next speaker, I wanted to be sure to acknowledge our grant partners, especially the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding the 2013 Texas Health Perception Survey. Also our advisory committees, the local NGOs that we have there in Austin, Texas, and our project members. And I also wanted to mention some related presentations from the same study at APHA. We had Dr. Deanna Helscher present earlier Monday over the TCOPI and this perception survey project. And also Michelle Hashimi will be subsequently presenting in this same session. So, all right, thank you guys very much.